It is the morning after the national championship game. How you feeling? Welcome to the jungle. That game is over, right? It did end, right? What's cracking? This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I've got a really busy first hour with a couple of interviews, but don't let that stop you. Hit me up. If you want to break down what you saw last night, go ahead. If you want to go back and reset the NFL weekend, go ahead. If you want to look ahead to the upcoming NFL weekend and the championship matchups, go ahead. 1-800-636-8686. That's your phone number. Hit me up on Twitter, please. At Jim Rome, email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, haveatake.com. Those things don't change. Those are still the three best ways to get involved with the program. It is a what's your beef day. Or as Rex in the ABQ likes to ask, is this the beef jerky segment, Jimmy?
Is this the beef jerky segment?
It is. Or it will be. Next hour, if you have got a beef with anybody or anything or both, you can hit me up on the phones, also on Twitter and on email. We will do that next hour. In terms of the interviews, coming up next segment, man, the 49ers are an unbelievable team and an unbelievable jungle team, and they're doing it again. Linebacker Fred Warner joining me next segment. Knowing the Packers as I do, I would suspect they would even that up sometime this week in terms of the jungle karma. Fred Warner coming up next segment. Coming up later on in the hour, Dennis Dodd breaking down the national championship game last night. In hour number two, Lorenzo Alexander, newly retired, two-time Pro Bowl linebacker. And then our third hour is open. All right, starting with last night's game. You know, if you want to complain about last night's game, you can. There are plenty of reasons you might do so, starting with, as I mentioned, the length of that game. I mean, holy crap. That was a long game. I was not convinced that that game was going to end in time for me to host this show this morning. That was a long, long game. On top of that, it's not like it was the best officiating I've ever seen either. But then again, it feels like a lot of these games come with that very warning these days. However, I am not here to complain about that. I am here to say this. LSU 42, Clemson 25. I'm also here to say this. Edward James Orgeron Jr., also known as Coach O, is now a national champion. The guy who took the field for the national championship game with a cut on his forehead, a cut that he received while punching himself after a practice to get his guys fired up, is the new king of college football. And personally, I find that awesome because what he and his team, and in particular Joe Burrow, did to Clemson was impressive as hell. What they did to Clemson is what they've done to everybody all year long. They're the first team to beat the top four teams in the AP preseason poll in the same season. And they not only did it, but they did it by 21 points on average per game. Except last night, that's not how it looked. It didn't look like that was going to happen because in the first quarter, Clemson hit the ground running. They came out like their hair was on fire. Clemson D coordinator Brent Venables was coaching his ass off and throwing all sorts of looks at Burrow that seemed to have him pretty confused. Isaiah Simmons was everywhere, and the Tigers in orange had the Tigers in white back on their heels. There was the Trevor Lawrence run that gave Clemson a 7-0 lead.
Lawrence, a shotgun snap, keeps it himself, goes right side in the end zone. Touchdown, Trevor Lawrence.
Clemson, Tigers Network on the call. Then you had the T. Higgins reverse that improved their lead to 17-7.
Hand off Dixon on the end around, though. He'll flip it to T. Higgins. He's got blocking outside the numbers, left side. 40, 25, 20, 15, inside the 10, the 5, yeah. Into the end zone. Did he step out of bounds? No. Touchdown. Higgins scores.
That's how you finish a run. You lower that shoulder and you finish the run. That was ridiculous. A guy who simply refused to go down. And for a moment, it looked like Clemson might just run away with that game. And for all the hype about LSU's coaching and Joe Brady, Clemson was coaching circles around them early on. Early on, that ACC speed looked a little bit faster than the SEC speed. Except Clemson was not quite able to capitalize as much as you have to capitalize in those situations. Because in between the first two Clemson TDs was this from Joe Burrow.
Play action. throws deep down the near side looking for Jamar Chase. Caught at the 15-yard line. He will waltz into the end zone. Touchdown, Tigers! 52-yard touchdown strike.
LSU Sports Network with that call. You see, Joe Burrow is going to get his own take later on. He deserves it after last night. He deserves it before last night. But that right there was a taste of what was still to come. Burrow got his feet underneath him. He let it rip. And when he has a chance to let it go, Clemson's defense. Now check that. Any college defense is in trouble. Serious trouble. That's exactly where Clemson found themselves. Stuck between Burrow and LSU's offense at their best. And then their own offense that struggled to convert on third downs. Like, if you're not picking up first downs and touchdowns against this LSU offense, you're not beating them. And Clemson was not beating LSU last night. The longer that game went, well, did anybody mention how long that game went? But the longer that game went, the more and more apparent it was, LSU was just a better team. They weren't just a better team, they were the best team. Fell behind 17-7 and then rip off a 35-8 run. 15-0. 15-Coach-0. Like I said, Burrow gets his own take a little bit later on, but the fact is, Coach O is where he is right now, and it's amazing. It's tremendous. It's tremendous because this is somebody who has been overlooked, somebody who has been clowned, somebody who has been mocked, and somebody who has been laughed at for years. So don't come in here now saying how you love Coach O all along and that you always knew he'd win a national title, because pretty much nobody did. Just about everybody laughed at this guy, laughed at his accent, made fun of his voice, tried to do an impression of him, clowned him for how he looked, clowned him for how he sounded. And don't act like you didn't, because you did. So don't disrespect this guy or minimize what he accomplished by making it all about his voice or him punching himself or yelling at guys to stop making noise during his pressers. Do not disrespect him by saying, yeah, but. He's a hell of a motivator and a big energy guy, but not all that much of a head coach. Hey, believe this, this dude can coach now. This guy can coach. This guy can recruit. This guy can assemble a staff. This guy can fire up a fan base. This guy can do everything you want a head coach to do. And he can do all those things on an elite level. And yes, he can match you IQ for IQ. But he was this close to never getting that chance ever again. That's what's so tremendous about the whole thing. I mean, there weren't too many people saying that this guy was going to win a national title when he won three SEC games in three seasons at Ole Miss, and he got broken off. I mean, you want to say that he's the embodiment of a football coach, fine, say it now. But there were not that many people who hire football coaches who thought that. This is a guy who went 6-2 as the interim head coach at USC. He desperately wanted the USC job. He was so proud of that job. He loved that program. He loved that job, but USC thought they could do better. They were wrong. Pat Hayden was wrong. Part of the reason why Hayden's out of a job right now. But not getting that gig did leave Coach O in a pretty tough spot.
When I didn't get the job at USC, I said, hey, you know what? Hey, you might be an assistant the rest of your life.
He said, when I didn't get the job at USC, I said, hey, maybe you'll be an assistant the rest of your life. And he says, it was only a few years ago when he was just sitting on his couch.
I remember sitting on the sofa of my house. I had a year to reflect. I remember watching SEC games, and you know what? I know I can compete with these guys, given the right place.
And then he got the right place. But even that right place wasn't sure that he was the right guy. Remember, Les Miles brought him in to be the D-line coach in 2015. Then Coach O was the interim coach in 16. When Miles was fired, Coach O went, wait for it, 6-2 as the interim that year. And then he desperately wanted that job, like he desperately wanted the USC job. And wait for it, LSU did not give it to him immediately. They also thought they could do better. They went after guys who look, act, and sound more like a traditional head coach than Coach O. You know, the kinds of guys that he was kicking the hell out of this year. So they contacted other guys, and then finally they got around to making Ed their guy. Except it wasn't even clear that he was their guy, especially after they lost to Troy at home in his first full season. You think anybody was talking about Coach O in a national championship after that game? As an assistant coach told SI last night, quote, we lost to bleeping Troy 2 years ago. I was there, end quote. Think about that for a minute. They lost to bleeping Troy 2 years ago, and now they're the bleeping national champions. LSU just capped off one of the greatest seasons in college football history. I could make the argument that they might be one of the greatest college football teams of all time. And they lost to Troy 2 years ago. The fact that the team that lost to Troy 2 years ago and just beat Clemson last night might be the most ridiculous part of the entire thing. And the fact that Coach O is the head coach might be the best part. He said this after the game.
It was kind of funny. The things that I was doing at Ole Miss, I was ridiculed for. Now I punch myself in the jaw and everybody else who likes it. So it just depends where you're at, man.
It just does depend where you're at, man. It does depend where you're at. And right now, where he's at is the top of the college football world, looking down on everybody else, and he earned every bit of it. Bottom line, you cannot shtick your way to a national championship, but you can coach your way to one, and he did. Yes, this guy's a hell of a personality and a tremendous character, but he's a hell of a football coach too. Man, don't get that twisted. Go Tigers!
Go Tigers!
Go Tigers!
Go Tigers!
Go Coach O!
Go Tigers!
You're a national freaking championship head coach. Go Tigers!
Go Tigers!
What are your thoughts on that? 1-800-636-8686. And in terms of Joe Burrow, he gets his own take a little bit later on. I'm going to say that he had the single greatest season that a college football coach ever had. That's not debatable. I'm going to go as far as to say, and this is not hyperbole, I'm not some kind of hot take factory, I have to say, I think that he might be the best college football quarterback I've ever seen. That good. And I'll lay it out. And I'm not looking for heat. I'm not looking to spew lava. I'm not looking to go viral. Guy's just that good. The guy is that good. 1-800-636-8686. I also want to talk about the aftermath and the celebration. The victory ham and cigars. Man, Coach O went ham now. Coach O went ham now. I mean, he went ham. Like another ham sando. And the players were burning cigars. And then the authorities shut that down. Oh, that's still ahead. Of course, you know what's interesting? So you've got Major League Baseball and you've got the Astros. Major League Baseball comes down hard. And I haven't even mentioned it yet, right? Yeah, pretty interesting the way they dropped that story. For reasons like that. I haven't mentioned it yet, but I will. All right, quick timeout. Busy first hour. Fred Warner is coming up next. NFC title game in San Francisco, Niners and Packers. Now, the new year is about growth and change. If you're a business owner looking to grow your business, LinkedIn can help you find the right hires that can set you up for a strong year. LinkedIn Jobs screens candidates with the hard and soft skills that you're looking for so you can hire the right person quickly. Things like collaboration, creativity, adaptability. LinkedIn, looking beyond the work skills and put your job post in front of qualified candidates who match your business requirements perfectly. This is how LinkedIn makes sure that your job post is seen by the people that you do want to hire. People with the skills, qualifications, and other interests that will help your business grow. It is no wonder a person is hired every 8 seconds with LinkedIn. And why companies rank LinkedIn Jobs the number one hiring platform for delivering quality hires. Find the right person for your business today with LinkedIn Jobs. You can pay what you want and get the first $50 off. Just visit LinkedIn.com/Rome, LinkedIn.com/Rome. Personally, I am on this site every single day. Terms and conditions do apply.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Right back at it. I am Jim Rome. A tremendous Tuesday to you. We are joined right now by a linebacker for the San Francisco 49ers. Another huge game in the win over Minnesota. He had 7 tackles. He was the NFC Defensive Player of the Month for November. On the season, 118 tackles and a career high in sacks, 4 fumbles, passes defensed, and INTs this season. He was the 70th pick overall in 2018 out of BYU. Of course, the NFC Championship game is in San Francisco, Green Bay at San Francisco, Sunday, 6:40 p.m. Eastern. Fred Warner is my guest. Fred, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
It's great. Good to be on. Thanks.
Good to have you. All right, so while a couple of teams, Fred, were coming off the bye and playing at home over the weekend, did not get off to strong starts. You guys, though, were locked in from the beginning against Minnesota. So what was the mindset among the players in the week building up to that game and then in the locker room right before kickoff?
Yeah, I mean, we knew we were playing a tough opponent in the Vikings. You know, they were hot coming off that win the week before, and we were coming off a bye week. And so, you know, sometimes teams can get lackadaisical off the bye, but I feel like we were so locked in throughout the week preparing, you know, having that one goal in mind, which was to come out you know, play hard from the get-go and get that win.
You know, it seems pretty self-evident, but how different is the atmosphere and the intensity of a playoff game compared to the regular season? I mean, is it just another game, or do you notice a heightened level of fire and speed on the field?
Yeah, I mean, people probably think there's a huge difference, but I mean, to me, honestly, there wasn't much of a difference. I mean, yeah, there's for sure another level of focus, and the fans are a lot louder. Our fans have been great for us all season. I mean, we played in some tough games where it's come down to the wire, and you know, everything's on the line. But you know, I think it felt like another game, honestly.
We're talking to Fred Warner. You mentioned that you knew what you were dealing with the Vikings. They'd gone into New Orleans. They'd beaten the Saints at home. You knew how good they were, except you held them to only 7 first downs and allowed only 147 yards total on offense. So how'd you go about shutting them down and locking them up the way you did?
Yeah, I think it all started with stopping the run. They've had an outstanding run game all season, you know, with Dalvin Cook, who's an outstanding back. I mean, I remember watching film on him throughout the week and being very impressed with how he ran the football. And so we all came out with that mindset that, you know, we're going to out-physical them in the run game. And so once we shut that down, our big boys up front were able to go eat. And, you know, us in the back end just had to be sticky in coverage, and I think the results showed.
Yeah, that plan worked. He was held to the fewest carries of his career and the second fewest rushing yards of his career. And then when they did try to pass, your rush was getting home. You had a great line after the game, too, that you were in man coverage a lot on third down, so you'd be in coverage. Then all of a sudden you'd start hearing the cheering, and then the play was over before it even started. And so how much fun is that when the pass rush is getting home and all 11 guys on defense are feeding off each other the way they were?
Oh, man, it's so much fun. It's so much fun. And, yeah, it's funny because, you know, like I said, we'll be in coverage, and then you hear the cheering, and it's time to celebrate. You know, I start sprinting downfield to get to the linemen so we can, you know, mimic their celebrations. It's just fun. You know, on defense, we like to keep it light. But you know, we're always locked in, so we can have those moments.
49ers and Packers in the NFC Championship game this weekend. Fred Warner joining us once again. You went into Saturday's game coming off that bye, so you had a chance to rest up, get rejuvenated. I mean, again, it seems self-evident, but how valuable is that this time of year? And did you notice a difference on the field?
Oh, it was extremely valuable. Just the fact that we were able to get back some of those key pieces, you know, Quan, Jaquaski Tart, and D Ford, those were guys that were talked about all week, but even getting our guys that who are already on the field, you know, that much more healthy and fresh heading into the game. I think it kind of showed on Saturday just how fresh we were able to, you know, run the ball even harder, you know, and just fly around. And so I think that was kind of overwhelming to the Vikings. And, you know, we're looking forward to trying to replicate that this weekend.
Fred Warner, my guest. Fred, go back to Quan. Quan Alexander was back out there. What kind of a difference does he make for this defense?
It's kind of hard to describe how big of an impact he has. I mean, people are always going to try and look to the stat sheet to see how he performed in a game, but this was one of his best games, honestly. I mean, the dude was constantly showing up in the film. You know, he's always flying to the football. His energy is so contagious out there. It gives me so much more confidence just with him being on the field with me. And I'm sure that's the feeling for everybody. And so, I mean, his leadership is really what you can't really put a price on. You know, I feel like that's my brother. So every time he's out there on the field, we all have this different swag about us.
Yeah, no, I can tell how much he means to you and how much he means to the team. And the fact is, you never want to be without a guy like Quan Alexander. But at the same time, you personally did not take a step back. In fact, I'd argue you took a step forward when he was out. How much did you grow as a player while he was out?
Yeah, I think I for sure grew a lot during that time. You know, I think in the beginning of the season, with both of us out there, I was relying on him heavily, just as a veteran presence out there, and he was off to a hot start, of course, too. But once he left, I think I just kind of had to dial in a little more. I feel like I hadn't been playing up to my standard, and so I switched some things around just in my routine. So I was able to go out there and perform the way I knew I was capable. And then having Dre out there being as solid as he's been, I mean, that was great having him out there with me too.
Fred Warner joining me for a few more moments, and then you had Richard Sherman making that huge INT in the second half. I mean, Fred, in full transparency, I'm fascinated by the guy. I love Richard Sherman. What's it like, though, to have this guy in that locker room and then there on the back end and still making plays like he does on a big stage?
Yeah, I mean, Rich is one of the best to ever do it, for sure. I mean, he shows up in big games. He's talked about it, ever since the game ended. But, he can because he constantly puts it on tape and proves himself. And, I always look up to him about just the what he's in the way, he works day in and day out. And I mean, the guy, everybody looks at this guy when it comes to, the getting in those big moments. He's been there, he's done all of this before, and he's been at the pinnacle. So, we're going to continue to lean on Sherm, and I know he's going to show up every single day.
All right, so before I let you go, let me get your quick thoughts on the game. You've got Green Bay coming in on Sunday. You had that huge game against the Packers back in November with 11 tackles, and you had a strip sack of Aaron Rodgers. What are you able to take away from that game that you can apply to this game?
I think we really got off to a fast start. You mentioned that strip sack. I think that's what got us up front pretty quickly. I got us that confidence, and the offense was doing really well that game. I feel like as a defense as a whole, we were all flying around. We came out with a swag that game for sure, and I think it'll be a much different game this time around. Green Bay is hot right now. I know they're going to come out with a little a little vengeance on their mind just because of how that game went the first time. So we know that we're going to have to work even harder than we did last week if we want the result that we want.
All right, so one last question. The team went 4-12 last year, and now you're hosting the NFC Championship game. I know there were injuries last season, and people around the organization believe that this group was close to turning the corner, but you were 4-12 last year. I mean, how do you put into words the difference between last season and this one?
Yeah, it's actually kind of hard to put into words. I've thought about it here and there, the fact that we've made such a huge jump, but it's just a testament to the type of people we have in this building. The team that Coach Shanahan and Mr. Lynch have put together, just the love that these guys, that all of us have for each other is crazy. And I think that's what's kind of showing on the field and on tape. And I feel like that's the result from why we've been able to, have such a dramatic change from last season to this season.
Right. So to that point, quick follow-up, chemistry. Like, what comes first? Is there chemistry which leads to winning, or do you have good chemistry after you start to win?
Oh, for sure. You have to have chemistry before you start winning, no doubt. If the chemistry is a product of the winning, I feel like it's not true chemistry. You're only like each other if things are going well. But I think that's what is different about us. When everything was hitting the fan last year, or just in the prior years, everybody stuck together. Nobody pointed fingers. And I feel like that's what's the biggest difference in our team.
It's such a great point. He was the NFC Defensive Player of the Month for November, coming off that huge game in the win over Minnesota, and they're going to do it again this weekend in the NFC Championship game. Fred, I appreciate you, and I appreciate you coming on this show once again. Thanks so much, Fred.
Absolutely. No problem. Thank you.
Have a great day. Good luck. Fred Warner, 49ers. Man, he's had a great year. And when you hear the way he describes what they have done, who they are, how they've gotten there, how they bounce back, it's not surprising to see the kind of thing, the way it translates on the field, and his preparation, their preparation. They're nice. And I appreciate the 49ers organization. They work really hard to make their guys accessible for the program. Makes for a much better show. Who you got? 49ers, Green Bay. 49ers laid the lumber to them earlier this year. I think that game's going to be a lot closer. But the 49ers are at home, and they look dialed in. 1-800-636-8686. Who you got? Green Bay looks better defensively. Aaron Rodgers looked great against Seattle. Who you got this weekend? Take a short time out, and then we revisit the championship game last night. Dennis Dodd joins me to break it down. Then coming up next hour, recently retired 2-time Pro Bowl linebacker Lorenzo Alexander. Third hour is open. I still need your beefs. The What's Your Beef segment started off as twice a week. Now it's once a week. Make it count. Time now for a sports update. Here it is.
And from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Sunday on CBS, it is the AFC Championship, featuring a matchup of two contrasting styles. Derrick Henry and the Titans head to Kansas City to face Mahomes and that seemingly unstoppable Chiefs offense, with the winner, of course, heading on to Super Bowl 54. It all begins with a special two-hour edition of the NFL Today at 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific on CBS. I will be there for that. I'm flying into KC for the NFL on CBS. It goes without saying, fired up for it. All right, some more on that matchup a little bit later on. Right now, we are talking college football. We are joined by a national college football writer for CBSSports.com. He is a very good friend of this program. He is Dennis Dodd. Dennis, good to have you. How are you?
Tim, I am great. We'll have to have a meet and greet at the game. I'm covering the AFC Championship game, so look forward to it.
Oh, I love that. That's great news. All right, Dennis Dodd joining us. All right, Dennis, before the game last night, you had five keys for Clemson to win the national title. The first key was Clemson D coordinator Brent Venables scheming up something special to confuse and limit Joe Burrow. Knowing that, what did you think of how Clemson's defense started that game?
You know, it's exactly how it played out. I'm not going to toot my own horn, but Brent Venables, who's a genius and probably the best play-calling defensive coordinator in the country, came out in a three-man set, three-down line, and sometimes two, and just brought blitzes and rushes from everywhere, zombie blitzes, dropping eight, dropping nine, rushing six, rushing seven. And there was a moment after the game where Joe Burrow said, I still haven't figured out where the blitzes were coming from. And that's exactly what happened. Until the second quarter, they kind of figured it out. The Clemson was up 17-7. And one of the biggest, I guess, offensive blitzes I've seen this season. Three scoring drives, totaling 15 plays, 232 yards, in a total, Jim, of 5 minutes and 8 seconds. And you look up and it's 28-17. That's a microcosm of what LSU was this year.
Dennis Dodd joining us. Listen, you've covered this sport, college football, for a long, long time. You've seen a lot of great players. What were you thinking as you watched Burrow put up those numbers that you just referenced against a really good Clemson defense last night?
Just that you have to see him live to appreciate him. I kept saying this throughout the season. Until I saw him live at Alabama in that game, you can't appreciate the moxie, the accuracy, the arm strength, the leadership, the running ability, which was huge. 521 total yards last night. Think about this progression in the BCS era. The total offense record in the championship game has progressed from Vince Young to Deshaun Watson to Joe Burrow to last night. Five touchdown passes to set the modern record, well, not the modern record, the all-time record, 60 in a season. One of my favorite stats from last night, he averaged one touchdown pass per quarter this season. 15 games, four quarters at 60.
I mean, Dennis, it's one thing to call it a historic season, it's that, but the numbers themselves, it's almost impossible to even wrap your head around these numbers. How do you explain the fact that he was able to do it, not just last night, but over the course of the season, against every kind of defense imaginable and every defense he faced?
I think it's generational. I can't explain. You have to talk about Ed Orgeron deciding on his own, we have to get more progressive in the offense and go to the spread RPO thing. Identifying Joe Brady, the 29-year-old offensive assistant, not even a position coach, who told me on media day he did everything in the office, including cut up film, and all of a sudden he's a play caller, at least a passing game coordinator and receivers coach at LSU. He installed the offense, had a profound effect. And then you get this transfer quarterback, who was a five-star coming out of high school. I think it's thrown 39 career passes or something like that in Ohio State. And he absolutely lights it up with what we now have to consider is, you know, best season, best player, you know, best offense. This guy might be the best player, best single season of all time in college football.
I don't think there's any doubt. Dennis Dodd is joining us now. Now, Dennis, it wasn't just Burrow. LSU's defense did a really good job of making life tough on Trevor Lawrence. And as the game wore on, it got worse. What did you make of Lawrence's performance overall?
Oh, I thought it was, like you just said, I think it wore on him. That LSU defense with Grant Delpit, those rushers up front, Derek Stingley, who was a magnificent freshman, at corner this year, as it became obvious that he had the pass. And he was off. I mean, it really looked strange to see Trevor Lawrence 18 out of 37, below 50%. But that's what it was. And he was, you know, after the game, here's a guy who hasn't lost since high school. 25-0 as a starter, 29 wins in a row for Clemson. He was crestfallen. I mean, I guess he should be, but it really affected him. And it's almost a shame, Jim, that with what he's accomplished, he has this quote-unquote burden of having to come back and play college football for another year when it's clear he could be succeeding in the NFL at a high level right now.
We were talking to Dennis Dodd. Now, there's no doubt. I mean, he was crestfallen, and it's going to be pretty curious. Look, the guy's coming back. The guy is definitely going to come back. I don't think that's a big mark against. And when I say coming back, Dennis, I mean, he's going to be fine. He's still a great, great talent. He ran to a really good defense. Now, we're talking about an LSU team, Dennis, that lost to Troy 2 years ago, and now they're the national champs. Now, that was a good Troy team, but at the same time, if I had told you after they lost to Troy 2 years ago that they'd win a national championship, what would you have said to me?
Well, I would have said it's impossible. That's a benchmark for me because I just flew from Virginia Tech for a game on a Saturday to LSU on a Monday because I said, I've got to chronicle this. I don't know if he's going to make it through the week, talking about Orgeron. And I'm serious. That's how loud the tom-toms were rumbling in Baton Rouge at that point. And I got there for his presser on Monday at noon. And Jim, I've been to happier funerals, you know, stiff upper lip and everything. You can't lose Detroit at home. Well, since then, you know, we've detailed what they've done, but 32-5, Ed Orgeron proved himself to be what nobody thought he was, an elite head coach. You know, great recruiter, great defensive line coach, you know, funny accent, everything else, can have a nice career. But that was another thing. You got to talk about that being one of the single season best coaching jobs in history as well last night.
Oh, no doubt. So on that point, not only did they win the national title 2 years after losing to Troy, they beat six top 10 teams, all four of the teams in the AP preseason top 25. So, Dennis, there's a temptation to become kind of the prisoner of the moment. But when you look at the teams they beat and how badly they beat them, how strong is the case for them to be regarded as the greatest team ever?
Well, I don't think there's any question right now. When you talk about 15-0, the only other team to do that in the modern era ever is Clemson, and that was last year. Jim, the only other team to win more most recently was the University of Chicago in 1899. They won 16 and beat four high school teams. So that ought to put it in perspective. LSU has beaten three top 10 teams since December 8th. The Nebraska team of 71, somebody brought that up, you know, as a comparison. The Nebraska team of 71 under Tom Osborne, I think his first year, and maybe Bob Devaney, they won three top 10 teams all season. I don't know if this has ever been done.
We were talking to Dennis Dodd for a few more moments. You know, Dennis, I hate the fact that the officiating always comes up after a big game, but the officiating came up again. Last night's crew was from the Pac-12. Given the conference's issues with officiating, it was something that was criticized even before the game, and then there were some questionable calls during the game. How did they get the assignment for last night?
Well, that's a good question. I give credit to John Wilner, who broke the story from the San Jose Mercury News yesterday afternoon. We knew the Pac-12 crew had been assigned because obviously you have to have a neutral crew. The Pac-12 isn't involved, and it was their turn. It's as simple as that to say they were involved. But the referee in that game, Chris Coit, was called out on social media 2 years ago by the Kentucky AD after he threw out their star, Benny Snell, after he laid hands on an official during that game. It's questionable whether he should have. The side judge and the field judge were part of a crew that were reprimanded for missing some calls in a Cal Washington State game this season where they mismarked the ball by 57 yards and assigned a penalty hands to the face to the wrong team. So it wasn't a story. Look, it's not a story unless it's the Pac-12, because, Jim, we know the reputation of Pac-12 officials.
Right, which is why I brought that up. Now, Des, before you go, you mentioned Joe Brady. You had a piece on him. He's the LSU co-offensive coordinator. You had a piece on him earlier in the week. As he said, not many people knew that he was a month or two ago, or who he was a month ago. Who is Joe Brady then, and how did he get to be the hottest offensive mind in college football?
Well thought out. From Appalachia, he speaks about fondly, but it's a depressed area. Came out of there, wanted to go to Nebraska. That's where he grew up, and that's where his dad played. They didn't recruit him at the time, and I'm not going to blame Scott Frost, because at that very point they had Adrian Martinez and were set at quarterback. It was right when he came in. Ohio State didn't work out, lost the Justin Fields sweepstakes, I guess you could say there, and went to LSU and just thrived and came again at the right time when they were installing the right offense. I keep saying, in the ultimate irony, he went to LSU to play in the offense he was recruited to play in at Ohio State.
That is really ironic. He is the national college football writer for CBSSports.com, but covering the AFC championship game this weekend as well. Good friend of the program, Dennis. I will look for you in KC.
I'll look for you, Jim. Thanks so much.
Thanks for doing this, Dennis. Always good to have you on. Appreciate the insight. You know, it makes you wonder where both teams go from here. For instance, Clemson, as devastating as I'm sure that was, they do bring back a ton of talent next season and may, in fact, be the team to beat. LSU is losing 20 seniors from this team. And barring something wild, Joe Burrow should be playing for the Bengals next season. So it'll be interesting to see what they look like. Really quickly, some reaction to wrap up hour number one. And again, I've got the What's Your Beef segment coming up next hour. So if you've got a beef, you want to get at us. Hey, Jim, I had no problem with how long that national championship game was last night. Signed, John Tesh's wife. John and Wisco wore It's Writ, booking a Packer player for an interview this week to even out some of the 49ers' jungle karma. All right, a couple of things. Don't you think that, quote, if John Tesh's wife were to email me, she would sign it Connie Celica? She knows her name. So I know that's not who that's from. Also, Writ is not booking a Packer player unless we're booking a Packer player for the podcast. He does not book the daily. Kristen and Erica book the daily. Writ books the podcast, and he has. In fact, he's already booked out the next two podcasts. Dear Jim, that game last night was really long. Signed, Bill Walton's teeth. Brett from Bugaha, high-level sports analyst. Hey, Brett, you know how I know a take is stupid? If Hawk and Writ think it's funny. And they did. Otherwise, it would have never made it to my desk. Terrible take. Horrible email. Put the phone down, little man. Terrible take. Hey, Jim. We don't want to beat our own drum. However, we had the vision to see LSU signs of greatness very early in the season. Sin Cheatley, the Houston Astros. Signed, Den Lesk's cheat code writer. Wore English-speaking reporters, thinking that Ed Orgeron was speaking French after the game, and French reporters thinking that he was speaking English.
Go Tigers!
Hey, Rome. The Astros? Stole signs? We just saw the signs. Regards, Ace of Base. DJ Mitch from Buffalo is how he signed it. DJ Mitch. All right, so we'll come back with hour number two. In that second hour, Lorenzo Alexander joins us. That's the last of three interviews. I've got the What's Your Beef segment coming up next hour, and then open phones and lots to get to. Stay tuned.
You're in a 5-minute break.